This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
Selling yourself to make a purchase.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. How bad does Barclays Bank want to buy ABN AMRO? Enough that it's selling a piece of itself to China. China Development Bank and an investment group in Singapore are the takers. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean Barclays is going to win, though. Remember that Royal Bank of Scotland already has a juicier offer of $98 billion on the table for ABN AMRO. A big homeland security bill is languishing in the halls of Congress and could come up for a vote this week. In it is an amendment about screening that would require inspections of every one of the 11 million cargo containers that come into the U.S. Ashley Milntite says not everyone thinks that makes sense.
Right now, incoming shipments are inspected depending on the country of origin and their declared contents. But sponsors of this amendment say that system is too risky. They want radiological and image screening for each piece of cargo headed for U.S. ports. James Carafano of the Heritage Foundation rolls his eyes at the idea.
We're going to spend billions of dollars on something that's really unnecessary.
Unnecessary, he says, because it won't make the U.S. any safer.
Here's the dirty little secret that nobody tells you. If you're going to take a photograph of every single container that comes to the United States, you're going to have so much information that no human being could possibly ever look at all this information.
It's not just a security issue. He says shipments will back up, prices for inspections will be passed along, and U.S. consumers will fork out more for goods from sneakers to frozen fish. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
And on Wall Street Friday, the Dow closed down 149 points to 13,851. The Nasdaq closed down 32 points to 2,687, and the S&P closed down 19 to 1,534. Starbucks stock has been smelling a bit like that coffee pot that's been sitting on the burner too long here in the office. It's down around 30% since last November. The coffee empire is responding by opening stores like mad, 2,400 of them, spreading the good gospel of pricey caffeine overseas. From the America's desk at WLRN, Marketplace's Dan Gretsch says Tijuana's now in the crosshairs, with the first of 100 stores set to open later this summer.
Every year, 20 million cars travel between Tijuana and San Diego, making it the busiest border crossing in the world. Starbucks is frothing at that potential market. Bryant Simon is writing the upcoming book, Consuming Starbucks.
You got two markets going. You have a fair number of Americans who like to go to Starbucks when they're abroad for the familiar, and you have the aspiring Mexican middle class.
For traveling Americans, Starbucks is comfort food. For Mexicans, Starbucks is an indulgence.
What I observed, I went to Guadalajara and watched people valet park to go to Starbucks. It is distinctly a luxury product.
Starbucks isn't the only U.S. company cashing in on the pesos and dollars. Tijuana's also seen the recent introduction of two other U.S. brand names, Home Depot and Walmart. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Something like 8,300,000 copies of that new Harry Potter book sold over the weekend. Imagine if that many people took the 25 or 30 bucks they paid for it and donated to politics. Actually, micro-donations like that seem to be piling up. New numbers show lots of people are giving to political candidates, often tiny bits of cash to multiple candidates. So far, the Democrats have raised $100 million, outpacing fundraising by the Republicans for the first time in 30 years.
Mm. Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with Mended Hearts to provide online and hospital support to newly diagnosed heart disease patients. You can learn more at mendedhearts.org. And by the American Public Transportation Association, representing America's public transportation industry, delivering 10 billion riders annually and working for an energy-independent America. Publictransportation.org. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship, online at kauffman.org.
And now it's time to talk about Ben Bernanke. Maybe you tune out when the Federal Reserve chief does his regular debrief on the Hill, as he did last week. But there are people out there who hang on his every word. 18 months into his tenure as the nation's chief economist, I asked commentator Alan Sloan how Bernanke's doing and whether it pays to listen more carefully.
There's this inflated idea in the world of the power of the Fed. This idea that the Fed controls all,
right.
and reality, or at least in the real world, as opposed to the journalistic world, what the Fed has control of is a handful of important but short-term money market rates.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways Greenspan kept enormous clout for the Fed, which I think is important the Fed had, was by masking its intentions, because otherwise the markets will front-run you and pick your pockets.
You know, we had a caller last week who said that Bernanke is more important to the health of the country than the president. Now, you're saying that you don't think the Federal Reserve is that important. Who's right?
To be more important to the health of the economy than the president, that's probably true about Bernanke. But that's because I think the president has become more and more irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
The head of the Federal Reserve Board is important. But personally, you know, I don't try to guess what the Fed does. I've looked out at things for a year and said, gee, given the way the United States government is borrowing all this money in the world and the way the currency is under attack, I find it very difficult to believe that the Federal Reserve Board can really drop short-term interest rates much, because to do that would undermine the dollar and cause a lot of trouble.
Does it matter if people who invest in the markets feel confident in Ben Bernanke?
I think the reason it matters some is you don't want people in the markets to think that the United States economy and the Federal Reserve Board are completely, you know, irrelevant and out of control, because then that would end up hurting the country and hurting the currency and probably driving up interest rates. But I don't think the markets trust or distrust Bernanke. I think they just sit there and look for advantage or disadvantage for themselves.
That's Fortune Senior Editor at Large Alan Sloan. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.